You can open your Bibles to Ephesians 3. Actually, I had somebody ask me the other day, so do you actually preach the same sermon twice? I'm like, geez, do you think I'm going to preach two sermons on a Sunday? It already takes me all week to prepare, and with a building project and everything, yeah, it's quite distracting. Find Ephesians 3. So we've been journeying through the book of Ephesians. It's been a lot of fun. It's been very encouraging, and we've learned a lot. The title of my message this morning is A Posture of Praise, and I think it'll make sense in a minute. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width, height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we can ask or think according to the power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Father God, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you that your word is true. Thank you that your word pierces our hearts. And I pray this morning that you will equip me to speak your word with boldness and truth. And Father God, I pray that you'll also convict our hearts as we listen to you and as you speak through us, Father God. Will you open our hearts and just may we hear you clearly what you want to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have you ever wondered what the biblical or the God-accepted posture of praise is? I want to focus for a second on a different type of posture of praise than what we're going to delve into this morning, just to set the stage a little bit. So last year, September, it was Elay's birthday, and she invited a group of friends from Solid Ground to go camp with them at a place just other side of Loskop. And it was the same weekend as the Springboks played Ireland in the Rugby World Cup. Remember that weekend? I vividly remember that weekend because we lost. Yeah, it was, don't laugh. It was disturbing. It was all the refs' fault, eh? Bryce Lawrence lost. That's such a bad game. Yeah, when he cost us a semi-final. Anyway, so we all carted off to the bar on the property where we were camping. Yes, the church leaders, we were in a bar, but the TV was there, so we went to watch the game. So in our defense, yes, the pastor was sitting in a bar watching a rugby game. You can have a good chuckle. But as it is in watching sport, people got pretty excited, you know, at when the box scored, and they got even more excited when the ref had a bad call, as he did quite often in that particular game, from our point of view. What was interesting is that you could actually remove the audio from that moment, and in people's body language, you could see exactly where they were emotionally and spiritually. Okay, so their physical posture depicted exactly what was going on inside. Now, for the sake of this moment that we have here, we will most definitely remove all the audio from that moment, because not everybody in that place was Christian. But yeah, people got quite excited, and without even hearing them, you could tell that there was something really big happening there. So their body postures was quite interesting. Now, I'm absolutely in love with the idea of studying people. I am quite fascinated with watching people, dynamics, people interacting, all these, if you do team exercises, you know, those people dynamics, the tensions between people. And I often stand in the front here, and while I should be worshiping, I glance over the congregation. And I watch other people worship, and I watch you engage in the worship, and it's so beautiful. And this morning, during that last song that we sang, it was beautiful because I glanced over the auditorium and I saw people with their arms out. worshiping God, and they couldn't contain themselves. They couldn't contain what was happening inside, and they couldn't keep it there. It had to come out of them in some way or another, and they physically expressed what happened in their hearts. Amen. Now, churches across the spectrum, from your conservative to charismatic, and then you get the hyper-charismatics. We've all seen the, you know, the TikTok guys. Let's not go there. But they've got different ways of worshiping God, and they've got different accepted sort of postures of praise across the spectrum of denomination, and from conservative to charismatic. And for some, solid ground would be considered as happy clappies. I think we clapped quite a bit this morning. We've earned our badge. Well done for you. You can give yourself another hand if you wish to do that. But for some of us from a more traditional upbringing, and I know there's some of you that comes from a little bit more traditional background, I can imagine walking into an auditorium where it's a little bit more rowdy, that it must be quite a deer in the headlights moment. I know some of you that's come from a more traditional background, and it's been beautiful to see how you've been able to engage with God more and more in your physical posture. Now, the question that I want to ask us this morning is, does this even matter? Does our physical posture, or the posture of our praise, does it actually matter, and should it be given airtime from the pulpit? Some would say that there's no need for any form of physical posture, because it's the posture of the heart that matters. And yes, I wouldn't argue that the posture of the heart does matter. But to the question of whether it matters or not, and if you're in the position of saying that the physical posture does not matter, I'd like to ask you the question, why then is the Bible so descriptive on every moment of worship, or almost every moment of worship that I can see in the Bible? There's a description of what the people's body posture was like. Let me qualify that statement. So every person that's ever encountered an angel in the Bible, what happened? On their knees, face down. Okay? That happens. Every time every time the angel has to say, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. On their knees, face down. Abraham stood before the Lord when he prayed for Sodom. Solomon stood when he prayed to dedicate the temple. David sat before the Lord when he prayed about the future of the kingdom, and he danced before the ark of the Lord when the ark came into the city. Very inappropriately, according to his wife, apparently. Jesus laid face down in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed to God, when he asked God to let this cup pass him by. And Paul says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. And if you go into that language, some argue that it was a kneeling of the heart that happened. And I'm sure that was also part of what happened in Paul's prayer life. But in this particular passage, it's a physical kneeling. He was on his knees praying for the church physically. Now, many, or perhaps most, of the moments of worship captured in Scripture has some form of explanation of a person's posture in worship. And from this, I would argue that yes, in fact, a posture of worship actually does matter. Okay. Because the Bible says it does. Why does it matter? 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 to 20. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price, so glorify God with your body. Say to the guy next to you, glorify God with your body. Tell it to the other person as well while I find my place in my... Pastor buying some time here. So what we must recognize, I understand that passage speaks about the holiness of our bodies, and I'm not confusing that. But when the passage says glorify God with your body, we must accept that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And as temples, our bodies are ordered instruments of worship. Can you see that? 1 Timothy 2 verse 8, therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or argument. So instead of waving your fists at one another in argument and anger, God says, lift your hands at me. Surrender yourself to me And the surrendering of the heart happens, yes, but the physical surrender. What do you do when somebody points a gun? I surrender. Hands up. Okay? And in the same way, we say to God, I surrender. I'm convinced by the many examples that we find in Scripture of the physical posture of worship that it matters so much that in actual fact, the enemy would like to suppress it in God's people. He would like to see it happen less and less. We see in David's wife confrontation in 2 Samuel of David dancing in her view, an undignifying manner in front of the ark. She confronts him, and David answers her in 2 Samuel 6, verse 21. It says, David replied to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me over your father and his whole family to appoint me ruler over the Lord's people, Israel. I will dance before the Lord, and I will dishonor myself and humble myself even more." And we see that God strikes Michal with barrenness for a criticism towards David's choice of posture in worship. Anybody ever read the Screwtape letters from C.S. Lewis? I haven't, but I've heard a lot of it. Now, what's happening in this book apparently is it's actually demons having a conversation about Christians, and it's fictional, so don't take this as gospel, but it's a good analogy, so I'm going to use it. And the senior demon writes to another demon about a certain well-known poet who's reported that he prays without his lips moving and without bending his knee. He prays sort of with an inner voice. And this is the quote from the one demon writing to the other. It says, "That is exactly the sort of prayer we want. They can be persuaded that the bodily position makes no difference to their prayers, for they constantly forget that they are animals and that whatever their bodies do affects their souls." Now, Renus, this is merely fiction. How can you use that as a convincing argument that what our bodies do actually affect our souls? Well, here's another one for you if you're into science. Harvard studies. Several studies published by Harvard University has proven that there's a direct relation between a person's physical stance and the biometrical reaction of their body. Okay, so Pierre, if you stand in a manly way for a while, there's a physical change in your biometrics. Okay, what does that mean? Let's clarify that. Studies have shown that by standing in a physical dominant way, as little as 2 minutes, can significantly increase the levels of testosterone, which is the hormone promoting masculinity and confidence, and decrease cortisol, which I believe is the hormone that triggers the stress and anxiety in the human body. Okay. What has this got to do with Christianity? How great is God, friends, that he creates our bodies in a way that our souls, which is our desire, our will, and our emotions, can respond to our physical body posture. Okay? How great is it that if something as simple as standing hands on your hips in a prominent way can have a hormonal balance in our body to give us more confidence and boldness, if that is the case, how much more, friends, can standing with our arms stretched wide have effect on our hearts towards our Creator? Can you see that? Or bending the knee in prayer, or laying face down before our Creator. How much more? If this can give me confidence, how much more can this not turn my heart towards my Creator? Amen. The position of our bodies may not hinder our prayers, but they can significantly alter the state of our hearts. Now you may say, but Renas, even the Muslims and other world cultures and religions bow down on their knees in worship. What makes us different? What makes us unique to them? Well, I believe it's the posture of the heart that now comes to play. The posture of the heart. While the posture of our praise, our physical posture, can have a great impact on the personal experience in worship, what defines our worship is not so much our physical, but our spiritual position or posture of our hearts. Every other religion in the world worships from a position or a posture of fear, trying to earn their salvation or whatever they call it, trying to earn favor, trying to earn their way into whatever the afterlife for them means, in case they may fall short of doing enough. That is their posture of their worship, while we worship from a position of gratitude, awe, adoration, victory, and love. Ephesians gives us a good picture of the progression of the human spiritual posture. This is true of you and me. If you're a believer this morning, this is true of you and me. It says in Ephesians 2 verse 1 that we were dead in our trespasses and sin. Our spirits were buried in the graveyard of sin. When we place our faith in Jesus, he raises us up from the dead and he seats us in Christ in heavenly places. Because of this, we can now walk in a way that pleases him, and we can stand against the schemes of the enemy. And friends, the posture that links all these things together is a heart posture that is surrendered unto Christ. Amen. Thank you, Amos, for saying amen. Psalm 51 verse 16. You do not want a sacrifice, or I would give it. You are not pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifice pleasing to God is a broken spirit. You will not despise a broken and humbled heart. Friends, God is not after our big worship. He's after our hearts. But as the outpouring of what's happening in the heart, friends, the body cannot help to respond in worship to God. And as the body responds in worship to God, there's a circular reference that happens. The soul is encouraged, and we are... our eyes are put more on Christ, and this thing populates itself until you are prostrate in worship in front of your Creator, and you cannot help yourself but worship him. Sometimes our ears need to hear what our mouths are saying, and sometimes our soul need to see our body worshiping God to have an effect on how we see God. There's a warning to this, though. Jesus warns the Pharisees. He says to them, hypocrites, Isaiah prophesied correctly about you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You see, friends, bowing the knee in worship and stretching your arms out in worship means absolutely nothing if we do not bow the knee of our hearts first to King Jesus. We need to bow and surrender our hearts to King Jesus first and foremostly. Our physical posture will follow whatever our hearts are full of. What the heart is full of, the mouth will speak. And what the heart is full of, the body will represent. Amen. We can bring sacrifices of praise as much as we want, but if we do not bring it with a humble, surrendered heart, our worship will not be pleasing to God. It's when we bring our worship and our body posture to God with first what's happening in our own hearts and a posture of surrender and humility that we come to God, that our worship is pleasing to God and he accepts it. Ephesians 3 verse 14 to 15, our main passage, it says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. In saying this, the Apostle Paul acknowledges God as the Creator and Father of all living things. Though everybody do not acknowledge him as Father, we know that he is the Creator God and that he is the Father of all. But then only those that accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior will be saved. But not taking away from the fact that God is the Creator. And you can draw the lineage of man back to one couple, which is Adam and Eve, which was created by God. We are all God's children in some way or another. Some accept him, some don't. Jesus starts his prayer in Matthew 6 verse 9 in a very similar way as what Paul says, I kneel before the Father. Matthew 6 verse 9, Jesus says, therefore this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. You see, as Creator of all things, God the Father of all is deserving of all our praises, our spiritual praise and our physical praise. The good news is one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Philippians 2 verse 9 to 11. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that is above, so that, I'm going to start that over, forgive me. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, friends, one day, willingly or unwillingly, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. For some of us, that's going to be the greatest day of our lives, and for some, it's going to be the worst day of their lives, depending on whether you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior or not. But friends, every knee will bow. When Jesus returns, creation will not be able to stand before him. The knees will bow and the tongues will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Surely, surely he is the Son of God. Amen. Then the posture of every heart and every knee, like I say, willingly or unwillingly, will be the same. And every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Band, will you guys come up for us? Verse 20, now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. See, friends, when we see God for who he really is, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, the God who is able to do above and beyond all that we can ask or think or imagine, when we see God as that, our hearts cannot help but to surrender. And we cannot help to let that overflow into our body language. Just as the guys in the beginning that I spoke about could not help themselves and couldn't contain themselves in the sport moment of great excitement and shouting at the ref and shouting at the players, even though they're thousands of kilometers away and they can't hear you through the TV screen. Friends, just like that, and people couldn't contain themselves. When we see God for who he really is, we cannot contain ourselves. And often, this expresses itself in arms wide open and eyes closed and say, Lord Jesus, have your way in my heart. A surrendered heart and a surrendered body posture ushers the presence of God into a place and into a heart. Am I saying that you cannot experience Holy Spirit without the right body posture? No, that's not what I'm saying. There are beautiful believers out there that's got a very conservative approach to God. What I'm saying, friends, is God is inviting us, I believe, into a place where we can freely worship him and where we can express. I'm not saying go dance naked like David in front of the ark. Please warn us if you're going to go for that one. What I'm saying, friends, is can we adopt a heart posture and humble ourselves before God? And like this morning, when something happened in the worship and I looked over my shoulders and the congregation was standing with their arms open worshiping King Jesus, I believe that's a picture of heaven. I believe that is what it's going to look like one day in the heavenly gates when we all join the angelic chorus of holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. And I believe we won't be able to stand. I want to ask you, friend, this morning, if your prayer time at home has maybe been a little bit dry, when last did you bow your physical knee to King Jesus? Maybe you need a humble moment. Maybe you need a moment of humility and bow your knee to King Jesus and see if he doesn't respond in a certain way. Sometimes our bodies, we need to bring our bodies into submission to God's call. When last did you close your eyes? And some of us, if you are a little bit more conservative and this is a little bit risky for you, I want to challenge you, friend. When last did you close your eyes and just say, Lord, have your way and see what God will do? Sometimes our hearts need to see our bodies worship. Can I ask us to stand? And if you're comfortable with it, I don't want to force anything on anyone. But if in any way my message this morning has spoken to you, I know it's a very practical message, and there's something happening in your heart and you just want to express it, don't you just want to stand in a posture of surrender? If you feel like praising, there's a posture of praise with your arms up. However you feel, if you're not comfortable with that, feel free, friend. There's no pressure. But may we worship God in spirit and in truth. Lord, will you do something in our hearts? I sense these people with pride in their hearts this morning who's resistant to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father God, will you do something in our hearts? May we humble ourselves. May we dance with humility before the King this morning, whatever that looks like. Whatever that looks like, Father God, may the overflow of our hearts speak to the posture of our bodies, Lord. May we worship you in Jesus' name.